you ready?
Welcome back to the FTN Fantasy Football Podcast. I'm your host, Mike Randall. Follow me on X at Randall Ran. And the FTN Fantasy Football Podcast is back and better than ever for the 2024 season. We are going to come to you every Monday morning, giving you a recap of the games, fantasy takeaways each and every week through the NFL season. We will also have a second episode later in the week as well for FTN. So make sure you hit the like, subscribe, tell a friend, tell an enemy, tell everyone. And as always, we are sponsored by Underdog Fantasy. Promo code FTN gets you up to $1,000 match bonus on your first deposit. We love Underdog Fantasy. Been playing best ball all summer. Make sure to hit that promo code as well. Today, I have the great Adam Pfeiffer in, one of our stars here at FTN. Follow on X at APPfeiffer24. And we are going to give you the top five things that we believe are going to happen during the NFL season. Call them guiding principles for fantasy football. Things we think are going to happen, and we are drafting accordingly. Five beliefs. Adam, five beliefs from me. Adam, kick it off for us here. What's the first foundational fantasy football belief you have for the upcoming 2024 season?
Yeah, it's actually interesting because this has pretty much come to me recently, but the more the season gets closer, the more I think Isaiah Pacheco is going to finish as a top seven fantasy running back, mainly because if he gets the third down role, it's over. Because like last season, we know obviously there was, you know, there was weekly upside with him, but it's been 2 years in a row now where Isaiah Pacheco has been just an absolute workhorse for this team during their playoff run. You look at the fact that last season during their Super Bowl run, Pacheco played 75% of the snaps. He had 76% of the rushing attempts, and he averaged just over 23 touches per game. He was like close to 20 fantasy points per game in that span. And then there was also a stretch from week 11 on, including the playoffs, averaged 18 carries, 80 rushing yards, 3.7 targets, 3.6 receptions, 21 touches, and 19 PPR points per game. And during that spin, he was playing like less than 20% of the third downs and like 20% of the two-minute drill snaps. So Andy Reid recently talked about how he's comfortable and confident in his ability to play on those downs. Clyde Edwards-Helaire is there, but like we know his role is not really going to be huge, and McKinnon's gone. So if Pacheco gets the third down role, plus we know the Chiefs' offense is probably going to become more of a absolute dominant unit this season. Yeah, I've moved him up a ton lately. So I think as long as he has that third down role, he will finish as a top seven running back at the very least.
I love this one. Adam, we did not talk about these before the show. Totally agree with you. We have to decide what is real, actionable advice and what is noise from coaches and what we've seen in the preseason. Example, Arian Foster, many years ago, broke out in the preseason, ended up sustaining it during the regular season. Last year, Kenny Pickett, great in the preseason, horrific in the regular season. This one, I agree with. I think Isaiah Pacheco, I've been taking him earlier. I have no problem taking him at the 1-2 turn if I pick at the back end because You know he's not making it to the wraparound when I go in rounds three and round four. I agree with you. I will follow up with there. Are you worried at all about Carson Steele? Are you worried at all that no. Carson Steele has kind of broke out? There was a report recently about how they think he's going to be used in short goal line situations, short yardage. I don't think so, but what say you?
I could not be any less worried. And that's not to say Carson Steele hasn't impressed, but like, this is a team that, again, it's 2 years now in a row where Pacheco's been so key for them in the Super Bowl runs. I just don't see Carson Steele coming in. And to be fair, it's not like Pacheco's like draft capital is massive, right? I think he's a sixth-round pick. But even if that's somewhat true and Carson Steele manages to take away a couple goal line carries, short yardage carries here and there, if Pacheco gets – I'm just more sold on the fact that if he gets the third down roll, and that's going to help too because – he had like 40-plus catches last season. I think a lot of that was the fact that Mahomes didn't really have anybody else to throw to, so it was a lot of scrambling and checking it down. So I think like the early kind of first, second down, first read type of targets for Pacheco won't be as high this season, but that will be made up for by just more usage on passing downs and third downs, etc.
Moving on to my first one here. My guiding principle, first one, and this has been true for the last 5 months, Adam, is that the Detroit Lions are going to have a very strong offensive season and that I need to have some sort of exposure to Detroit in Underdog Fantasy best ball drafts. I've tried it the whole time. Here's the argument. 14 of their first 15 games are going to be indoors. Jared Goff indoors per our FTN splits tool. When he's indoors in the last two seasons, he's had two more completions. He's had 100% more passing touchdowns, 2.1 versus 1 per game. He's had over 25 more passing yards per game. And the most important one, he's had over 5 more fantasy points per game indoors than he has in all his other games the last 2 years with the Lions. What else do I like about this team from a fantasy perspective? The target share is consolidated. There's Amara St. Brown. There's Sam Laporta. There's Jahmyr Gibbs, who combined for over 65% of the targets last year. Yes, you're going to tell me about Jameson Williams. I like Jameson Williams. I don't think he's a 70-80 catch guy. So I love that it's consolidated. I love that Gibbs is a great PPR back. I love that David Montgomery is still there. Oh, by the way, I love their offensive line, which is top 5 per Dan Fournette here at FDN. I love everything about the Lions. I am all in. I need to have some sort of exposure. Adam, if I don't get Amara St. Brown in round one, I have no problem with Nakee Goff. I have no problem grabbing Laporta a little bit earlier than I have to, or Gibbs at the turn, however I want to do it. What say you? I love the Lions.
Actually hoping we get to a point where we might disagree, because it's more fun. But yeah, it's not going to be here. Jared Goff has been one of my favorite values at quarterback, especially over on Underdog all offseason, because he's been consistently drafted as like quarterback 15, quarterback 16. And while I get like, you know, Caleb Williams getting pushed up, Jaden Daniels getting pushed up for the excitement, like Jared Goff has been QB8 and QB10 the last two seasons. You mentioned the 14 games indoors. And then also the fact that at home, we know how good he's been over the past two seasons. Goff is averaging 4.9 more fantasy points, over a touchdown more per game at home. And he's averaging 20.5 fantasy points, 277 passing yards per game. I think there's three quarterbacks you can make the argument that have the best supporting casts of anybody in the NFL. Mahomes, Jalen Hurts, and Jared Goff. And you can argue Jared Goff is one when you consider offensive line, skill position players, and overall continuity, which I think is huge. And I start to kind of pay attention to this more each year. Ben Johnson, Dan Campbell, Goff, all these guys have been together now for a couple years. It's just such a good unit with the fact that Goff playing those 14 games indoors where he's just been so much better too. The Lions, look, this team that was a couple drops away from the Super Bowl last year. So they are, to me, they're as good of a bet to win the Super Bowl as anybody, which 2024, it still sounds crazy, but here we are, Detroit Lions, one of the best teams in the league.
It's fantasy football season, Adam. So we're going to snake these predictions. I'm going to give you my next one, and then I'll kick it to you for your second and third one. My second one, stay in the same division. I think there's a very good chance that naked Jared Goff ends up being on the winning Best Ball Mania team. The 22 touchdowns from week 11 through the playoffs last year, only had one interception till that last game against San Francisco, and they only lost that game by 3 points. He's got Jaden Reed. He has a healthy Christian Watson, which is a difference maker. He has Romeo Dubs. We saw him hit Dontavian Wicks for a touchdown. I think Tucker Kraft is good. I think Luke Musgrave is good. I think Josh Jacobs is good. I think A.J. Dillon can still pass protect. I think Marshawn Lloyd's going to be a problem when he gets healthy. And I think they're going to have to score points to keep up with the Lions. I love this Packers team. Everyone wants to stack. I like to stack, but I have no problem selecting Jordan Love, because I think that if the passes are distributed among all of those wide receivers, instead of arguing, Adam, about Jaden Reed versus Christian Watson, why not just take Jared Goff? I see Jared Goff as a top 5 quarterback. Tell me I'm crazy.
Jordan Love is top 5?
Yep. So, because you're going to tell me because of the running. This is what I'm going to tell you. I think he's going to put 40 touchdowns up. If he does that, I think he gets top 5. That's my argument.
So, and it's interesting because Chris Meany was on the podcast this past week, and we talked a lot about Jordan Love. He's really high on Jordan Love as well. And I do think that's kind of the right mindset. Instead of trying to decipher which Green Bay wide receiver is going to be the best selection in drafts, we're sitting here talking about, oh man, Jaden Reed's really good. But yeah, but what if Christian Watson's healthy? We know how talented he is. And then Dontavian Wicks has been one of the most talked about players in fantasy. So it's like, at some point, we just say, you know what? Jordan Love's the one that gets a throw to these guys every week. And yeah, obviously second half of the season, he was as good as anybody in football. The only concern I have is just like, he's going to have to throw for like 40 plus. But I will say, like, and I said this on the podcast, CJ Stroud, where he goes, you can make a case that the final season stat lines for like Stroud, Burrow, Dak, and Jordan Love are like all right there. So, like, that's why, for instance, like, I am not taking C.J. Stroud, because I don't see a huge difference in the season end production between Stroud and somebody like Jordan Love. And you can get Jordan Love, you know, three, four rounds later, what have you. So, yeah, there's definitely reason to be excited about Green Bay's offense. I also love the fact that Matt LaFleur, who has historically loved to use pre-snap motion, finally got to see a massive uptick in that last year with Rodgers gone, because Aaron Rodgers just did not want pre-snap motion. And I think that overall helps the offense. You get pre-snap players getting free releases off the line of scrimmage. So I think overall that helps Jordan Love too.
Listen, CJ Stroud's a great point. 499 pass attempts last year. I know that's going to go up. Maybe 550, maybe 560, but that's pushing it because we expect them to be good. I agree. I don't think the volume's there for CJ Stroud. Give me your second and third foundational fantasy football opinion on what you think is going to happen this year that has kind of guided you through your draft so far.
Obviously, we have to go with a Buffalo Bills selection here, right?
Of course. Of course.
Dalton Kincaid. It sounds scary to say it, Mike. It really is, but tight end's kind of deep. A huge reason for that is what we saw from Trey McBride last season and Sam Laporta and Kincaid. But for me, Dalton Kincaid, guaranteed top five tight end this season. And
I think it's
a lock. For me, Buffalo's obviously been polarizing because of who's going to step up with Stephon Diggs gone. I think the safest candidate is Dalton Kincaid. Last season, obviously, it doesn't get talked about because of what Sam Laporta did, but he still had a really good rookie season for a tight end. 73 receptions were the fourth most by a rookie tight end in NFL history. It just was swept under the rug because Laporta went absolutely crazy. But I didn't love the usage from him to start the season. It was a lot of like really short passes to the flat. But as the season went on, there was slowly more and more deep stuff, deep crossing patterns. And obviously just the huge impact of Stephon Diggs, 160 and a half targets per season his 4 years in Buffalo. That's gone. Gabe Davis, he's also gone. And Kincaid last season, according to FTN data, it wasn't a massive sample because it was strictly the plays where Diggs was not on the field. But in the plays where he was off the field, 22.6% target share for Kincaid compared to 15.7% when Steph was on the field. So if you look at a 22.6% target share that last year, that would have been a top five rate among all tight ends. I could see that easily being his target share this season. He's not Travis Kelce, but when you watch him find the soft spots in his zone coverage and immediately waste no movement just to get turn and go right upfield, it looks exactly like Travis Kelce. So he's not going to be Travis Kelce, but he's going to be really good. The Bills offense obviously needs him. Josh Allen's really close with him. The only concern you might have is the splits when Dawson Knox was on the field last season, but they're going to run so much 12 personnel anyway. And a lot of the times where, where like Knox is on the field and Kincaid's not, they're probably running the ball anyway. So I really don't care.
Spoiler alert. This could be part of our last segment, so I'm not going to comment. Why don't you give me your third prediction and then I'll comment on both of them very quickly. Go ahead.
Yeah, I like that one. So this one I feel a little bit better about today because I believe we saw he's practicing again. But I've talked to Meany about this and he was kind of surprised. He looked at my rankings, but I'm here. Ja'Marr Chase will be the wide receiver one in fantasy this season.
Wow.
I know it's a little bold because of how loaded the top is. Tyreek, Jefferson, Amon-Ra, Lamb. But to me, I don't think people are paying enough attention to what he did when Joe Burrow was healthy last season. Like, obviously, the overall season was tough because Burrow missed the end of the season and beginning of the season. He was not Joe Burrow with that calf. Like, it really impacted what the Bengals' overall offense could do. But when Joe Burrow got healthy, I mean, it was unbelievable what we saw from Ja'Marr Chase from weeks 5 to 10. That was when Burrow was actually fully over the calf. And he had that huge game against the Cardinals where Chase had like almost 200 yards and I think two or three touchdowns. But in those weeks, 5 to 10, before he had that season-ending wrist injury, Burrow was great and Chase was amazing. 8 catches, 11 targets, 107 receiving yards per game, and just over 24 fantasy points per game, which would have put him right ahead of Lamb and Hill. Now, again, that was a 5-6 game sample size, I understand, but we know T. Higgins is going to miss a couple games a year probably, and we know those games where he leaves after like 15 snaps. And then it's a lot of question marks. You don't have the reliable slot receiver in Tyler Boyd. I like Jermaine Burton. They have really nothing at tight end still. And I don't know if either running back they have gets the volume that Joe Mixon got. So
dare you dismiss Mike Gesicki? How dare you,
Adam, listen, dismiss Mike? He's had opportunities. And to be fair, this is also part of me, like, I've chased the tight end for the Bengals for a couple years now. I'm done. But like, I could see Ja'Marr Chase having a similar season to what CeeDee Lamb just had last season. So, you know, I pushed my chips in for a while now. He has not moved despite the contract stuff with him and CeeDee Lamb. He is my wide receiver one. And as long as Joe Burrow's healthy, which is probably why most people wouldn't want to rank him one, because Burrow has had struggles staying healthy. But I'm playing with the mindset of both these guys are healthy, and Ja'Marr Chase, we haven't seen the best of him yet. I fully believe that.
Two comments. Number one, the Kincaid one makes me nervous. My thoughts are this. Yes, I get worried because Knox is there. But to your point, last year, before TJ Hockenson got injured, the top tight ends were all bunched up, 11.6, 11.5, 11.5, 11.4, 0.5 PPR fantasy points per game. So half point. But they were close, so they're not separating. I do think Kincaid at the tight end position is extremely solid. His floor is very high. He could be great. I am worried that it's going to be divided a little bit there, but your point is valid. I get it. And Kincaid, to me, is a lot safer than like a Mark Andrews or something like that. He is going to be used all over the place, and I think it was underrated how much he was used. As far as Ja'Marr Chase, if Chase is on the field, and I agree, he was explosive, dominant with Joe Burrow. Joe Burrow is dropping because he doesn't run. And this is my point, Adam. I feel like the rushing quarterbacks, if Usain Bolt was a quarterback with no experience, he would go in the top three. I understand the idea, but if you're a pocket passer like a Joe Burrow with elite wide receivers, then you can post 30 to 35 touchdowns. You're a really good fantasy option, unless the rushing quarterbacks also see fantastic production in the passing game, which may not be the case. So those two, I think I like the Chase one a little bit better than the Kincaid one, but I can see both of them. I think there's a rationale there for both of them. My next thought, my third fantasy foundational thought, listen, I think the Pittsburgh Steelers, in my mind, are the pick to win the AFC North. They have, Adam, the worst odds among all those teams. Number one, I don't want to hear about the Bengals' easy schedule. I have questions about the Bengals' defense. I have questions about their offensive line, which stayed very healthy last year. Chase just came back to practice. Can they run the ball effectively? Too many questions for me. You want to look at the Ravens? The Steelers have won 7 of the last 8 games against the Ravens. 7 of the last 8 games in the regular season, they have won. They swept them last year. They swept them in 2021. They swept them in 2020. They split in 2022. They lost 16-14 at home to Baltimore. I think George Pickens is an elite wide receiver. I expect Russell Wilson to be the starting quarterback for a significant period of time because they got Russell Wilson because he's not going to turn the ball over. Yes, he's getting older. Yes, he's not as dynamic as when he was younger. But if he doesn't turn the ball over, that's all Mike Tomlin needs. Remember, this team last year was 9-7, and Kenny Pickett played in 12 games. He threw 6 touchdowns and 4 interceptions. They had horrific quarterback play. They addressed the offensive line, and per Aaron Schatz, DVOA, here at FTN, they were the number 6 overall defense. They were number 7 against the pass and number 6 against the run. They're being sold short. The only thing I think that we have to be considerate of is their schedule. But they need, in my mind, to start 7-2. And if they can do that, they can hammer through a 500 record starting in week 11 when they play all the teams in the division. Baltimore at Cleveland at Cincy, Cleveland at Baltimore, and then Cincy again. I like the Steelers. I need exposure to them. Maybe it's Najee Harris, who's going much later. Maybe it's Jaylen Warren, who's getting the discount now because of the injury. Maybe it's George Pickens' season to be a top 10 wide receiver, even though people don't see the passing volume there. I like the Steeler team. I think they're pretty good.
Yeah, I struggle to think they'll win the division, but there's a reason the AFC North is pretty widely regarded as the best division in football. And it's obvious you have, you know, a healthy Burrow, and then, of course, Lamar Jackson and the Ravens at the top. But the reason I think the main reason this division is so good is because of Cleveland and Pittsburgh being, I mean, if those are the two worst teams in your division, that's like, we know those divisional games are tough every single time.
Adam, Deshaun Watson already has arm soreness. Yeah. I mean, we're not worried about that at all. I mean, it's going to be Jameis. It's going to be Jameis. I get it, but you can give me the 30 touchdowns and you give me the 30 interceptions, Jameis also.
For me with Pittsburgh, I just, At the end of the day, I just think there's, even as much as I like George Pickens, you know, fully breaking out the season, and I like the run game they'll have with Arthur Smith, who's always been good at designing run schemes, and he's been good at, you know, developing usage for, you know, the overall tight end position. I just think their ceiling is just capped with the quarterback play. Like, I think Russell Wilson will do enough to, like, keep them in games with the defense, but, like, if they get into games where they have to, you know, out-duel Burrow and Lamar, I think it's just going to be a little bit more difficult for them. But on a week-to-week basis, like, you want to talk about survivor leagues, like, I'm not picking any game in the AFC North ever. Like, I'm not doing it.
I totally don't blame you for that. I'll give you my fourth one, then we'll kick it back for your last two here. My fourth foundational piece that I think is going to happen that is sort of guiding me through all my fantasy football drafts is that the Los Angeles Chargers are going to be a top 10 rushing team. They have always, when Jim Harbaugh has been the coach, prioritized rushing. And I expect it to happen again. He was the head coach of San Francisco from 2011 until 2014. During that time, they had a running back named Frank Gore. And yes, Frank Gore, really solid, maybe Hall of Fame running back from what I'm hearing. I don't think he is. Maybe he is. His rushing yardage in those seasons, 1,211, 1,214, 1,128, 1,106. And his touchdowns in those years, 8, 8, 9, and 4. He was a borderline running back one. Why does this matter? Because right now in best ball drafts, and I will remind you, Adam, that the Best Ball Mania 4 winner from last year drafted his team on August 29th. So we're not even there yet because today it's August 26th. Gus Edwards is the running back 37. J.K. Dobbins is the running back 46. And if you really like Kamani Vidal, who was a cut candidate but now seems to have solidified the running back 3 position for the Chargers, he is running back 58. That is why I'm zero RB. That is why I look for running backs later in the draft. And when I'm looking for them, Adam, I like the Chargers because they're going to run the ball. You had Jim Harbaugh in a van down by the river in the beach, sitting there with his offensive coordinator, Greg Roman, talking about offensive linemen or weapons. They drafted accordingly. No one wants Gus Edwards right now. He's late. No one wants J.K. Dobbins. One of those guys is going to be very, very good. I understand you could argue that they're going to be split, but the Chargers are going to run the ball effectively. And if you're telling me around that time you would rather take some of the wide receivers that are going in that range, I don't want to hear it. You can't tell me that you're excited about Jacoby Myers and Brandon Cooks and Jerry Jeudy and players like that instead of taking these running backs. I usually draft them both, but if you want to pick one, it's fine. Chargers, elite running team this year. What say you?
Yeah, so I've been kind of torn on the Chargers because we know with Roman and Harbaugh, this team will want to be as run heavy as anybody in football. My concern is a lot of those previous teams, like obviously Roman and Harbaugh were together in San Fran, and then Harbaugh in Michigan, and then Roman in Buffalo and Baltimore. Like, those teams had the personnel to be as run heavy as they were. They had great running backs. They had great defenses. I don't think the Chargers are anywhere close to that level of personnel. But the offensive line has looked really good so far this preseason with, you know, creating rushing lanes. So I think if they can just kind of, their defense can kind of just keep them around in games, then they'll be as run heavy as most teams in the league. Interestingly enough, though, I'm staying with the Chargers for mine. I know everybody loves Ladd McConkey, and I have no problem drafting him anywhere.
Be good. Go ahead. I like it. Go ahead.
Josh Palmer is going to be the wide receiver one for
the
Chargers.
I like it. This is good. This is creative. Go ahead. Tell me why.
Josh Palmer is like kind of like the Khalil Shakir of the Chargers, where like we have all these new receivers around, and you know Shakir in Buffalo is the only player on the only receiver on the Bills that's caught an NFL pass from Josh Allen. Quentin Johnson's caught a couple last year, but it's mostly been Josh Palmer who's actually caught passes from Herbert from the Chargers offense. DJ Chark, new to the team, he's been banged up. Ladd, obviously a rookie. So for me, like, Josh Palmer's been super underrated because since 2021, he's averaging 11.9 PPR points per game with just one of Keenan Allen or Mike Williams off the field. Just one of those two. 11.9 PPR points per game last year would have been good for wide receiver 39 in fantasy. Palmer consistently goes out to the top 50 wide receivers. And last year alone in those games without one of those two receivers, he was just over, I believe, 12 fantasy points per game. Which, again, it's not like, oh, wow, 12 fantasy points per game. But that's some solid wide receiver 3 production for a lot of teams, especially teams that lose some of their starting receivers during the course of the season. He's always been just quietly really solid when he's gotten opportunities. And I don't think it's pretty obvious this is the largest opportunity of his career. And yes, while everybody's been talking about the Chargers and we don't want to draft Justin Herbert in fantasy because of the volume, and I don't really, to be fair, want to draft Herbert that much either. That doesn't mean we don't love. It's one of the reasons why we're so excited about Ladd, because Justin Herbert's a really, really good quarterback. But for me, it's close for me, to be fair, but I'm taking Josh Palmer as a wide receiver. It's actually the player I want to draft the most from this entire team in any position, which is kind of easy to say because the tight end position just doesn't exist. They'll probably use like all three of those guys there with Disley and Parham. But for me, Josh Palmer has moved up the rankings all the time over the past 2-3 weeks. And if I'm drafting anybody from the Chargers in any fantasy league, it's him.
I love that one. I'll comment on it. Give me your last one here and then I'll come back. But that's a great, great call because he's being totally ignored. Ged, what's your fifth foundational fantasy prediction, if you will?
Yeah, so we've talked about a lot of, you know, high upside players, you know, outside of Josh Palmer, a lot of players outside of really the Chargers' whole discussion, a lot of players that will go relatively early in drafts. I am going to give some love to, I wrote an article at FTN Fantasy with like kind of like breaking down wide receiver handcuffs. For me, I think DeMarcus Robinson is like going to be one of the best late round selections in like deep fantasy drafts because he was great, like legitimately great down the stretch last season, right? Like he was awesome because obviously Tutu Atwell for a lot of the beginning of the season was the clear wide receiver 3, obviously was running as the wide receiver 2 before Cooper Kupp came back. But for me, like, I don't understand why we're not talking about Robinson more. I guess I do because like he's obviously not getting a massive target share when everybody's healthy. But the Rams offense is just an offense we want pieces of. You look at the games where Stafford, Kyren, Cooper Kupp, and Puka were all healthy last season. They were second in offensive DVOA behind San Fran. They averaged 28.5 points per game in those games. Like this is not just like a good offense when everybody's healthy. This is an elite offense. So Robinson broke out as the clear wide receiver 3 from in week 14 last season. From that point on, he ran around on 88% of dropbacks. He had a 17% target share, which is not bad considering he was playing alongside those receivers. 16 fantasy points per game. And look, the Rams, they run 11 personnel at like 90%+ of the time, so he'll be on the field a ton. And despite playing, Kupp missed week 18, but other than that, he played with those guys for every game in that stretch. Robinson was the red zone target for the Rams and Matthew Stafford. He was second in the entire NFL in end zone targets with 7 during that span. And you also have the fact that Puka was awesome last season, but coming into the NFL, he had some injury concerns, and he's been banged up in preseason. And Cooper Kupp's 31 years old, and he's obviously dealt multiple injuries. So, I again, you know, in like a smaller 12-team traditional redraft league, he doesn't have to be drafted most likely, but in a lot of these best ball drafts, I love drafting him because A, there's contingent upside, and B, he's a great kind of value stack piece for Matthew Stafford. So shout out to Marcus Robinson.
This is why I love having Adam Pfeiffer on any podcast. Folks, he just gave you the wide receiver 52 in best ball, Josh Palmer, and the wide receiver 76 in DeMarcus Robinson. They are great fantasy football picks. I'm picking a lot of them. The other one for me is rookie Jalen McMillan, Adam, with Tampa Bay, because I think he could be big time and have standalone value.
And he literally won't slow down the hype because he's been talked about so highly by that coaching staff. Then he goes out in the preseason and makes splash plays. So,
and they're both behind wide receivers where one could actually get injured and they would have a monster situation. So I agree totally with you. I think those two are fantastic and they're so cheap and you could either grab them with your last pick in redraft or you could just keep an eye out on them on the waiver wire. Do the old move that I like, by the way, Adam. Always leave one waiver spot open so I can pick someone up on Sunday just in case there's an injury, you know what I mean, on the bench, just so I could be ahead of the curve. But great call there, handicapping your wide receiver, handcuffing rather, your wide receiver. Last one for me. I think the Jacksonville Jaguars are going to be good. They were 9-8 2 years ago. They were 9-8 last year. And I ended up having Mike DiRocco from ESPN, the Jaguars beat reporter, on our team preview series here at FTN. He said before Trevor Lawrence got hurt, you go back to 17 games before then, they were 13-4. You look at this Jaguars team defensively, they were number 10th in defensive DVOA. They were 15th against the pass, 10th against the rush. I think they addressed their secondary concerns last year. Lawrence has your guy, Gabe Davis, there. He's got Brian Thomas, an explosive rookie who really is operating in the shadow of a lot of these other rookies like Neighbors and Marvin Harrison Jr. He could be fantastic. Christian Kirk is their third wide receiver. He's dropping in best ball drafts, but can we take it easy? He did have 84 and 1,108 touchdowns 2 years ago, and now Calvin Ridley not there anymore. And Evan Engram, the connection with Trevor Lawrence, already strong, two touchdowns in the last preseason game. They have ETN. Bigsby has been doing better things in terms of this year as opposed to last year. I like this team. They're in a division that's very winnable. They could battle. They play well against Houston. I like this Jaguars team. I want exposure to the Jaguars. Adam, that is my last foundational thought.
Yeah, I've been warming up to them a lot lately just because Scott Spratt, genius, and we did a regression episode on the podcast, and he was telling me how much he loves Trevor Lawrence this season. And it really opened my eyes because he is due for some serious touchdown regression. Last year, like all of those close touchdowns with Calvin Ridley where he couldn't get his second foot down or drop the ball, that's going to help Trevor Lawrence just overall with that, then the fact that he was dealing with multiple injuries last season, and the fact that Jacksonville also, which might be my most important aspect, they had to and certainly did address the interior offensive line, which is most important. They, you know, they bring in Mitch Morris. They did a lot for that. And yeah, Brian Thomas has looked really good. You mentioned Christian Kirk, who, yeah, he's also one of my favorite values because before he got hurt last season, he was like the wide receiver 22 in fantasy points per game. So
yeah, and Adam, I understand that he's not on the field in two wide receiver sets, but they can use three wide receiver sets a decent amount. So let's take it easy. Christian Kirk was dropping like 32.2.
We also have to understand, too, with Gabe Davis, who I love, he is legitimately one of the best run-blocking wide receivers in the NFL. Excellent. So if they're in two wide sets, there's a good chance they're running the ball quite a bit because he's so good in terms of run blocking at wide receiver. So like, this team knows that Christian Kirk needs to be their top target. I'm not worried. And if it emerges as Brian Thomas as their top target, that's probably even better for their offense because we know Kirk's floor is so high.
And I looked up on our Stats Hub, check it out, folks. If you have an FTN Stats Hub, we looked at DYAR for wide receivers when their quarterback was flushed out of the pocket. Gabe Davis was top six in that ranking because he's so damn good at adjusting the route and getting open. You saw it with Josh Allen. You're going to see it with Trevor Lawrence, who is not a statue, who could run easily. To me, the barometer, Adam, is 300 rushing yards. If I think they can get 300 rushing yards on the season, to me, they're somewhat of a rushing quarterback.
Anything they've also called a lot of design quarterback runs for him with inside like the 3 yard line the past couple of years with Doug Peterson there. So I think he could have like a really random like 6 rushing touchdown season. It wouldn't surprise me.
All right, that was fantastic. There are top 5 sort of fantasy predictions, if you will, or I like to call them guiding principles as we go through our drafts. One last thing to do with the great Adam Pfeiffer. I am going to put him on the clock. I love doing this. I'm going to get the clock ready here. We're going to count down from 1 minute, Adam. All I'm going to do is bang out a series of questions. I want your answer. I don't even need the explanation. I just want your answer. Going through a bunch of them. We have some fantasy questions. We have some NFL questions. Please assume in all these questions that I'm talking about half point PPR leagues, if it's a fantasy question. There's even one of them that I threw in, by the way, that was a huge discussion at the Fantasy Football Expo that almost had us come to blows at the dinner table. I want to get your answer. Are you ready, sir?
Yeah, let's do it.
1 minute on the clock. Here we go. Best fantasy wide receiver in Buffalo this year will be?
Curtis Samuel.
Which of the top 3 quarterbacks via ADP do you think will disappoint this year? It's always one. Josh Allen, Jalen Hurts, Patrick Mahomes.
I'll say Hurts.
Yes or no, Devon Achane will be a top 5 fantasy running back?
No.
Same question, Jahmyr Gibbs.
Just barely no.
Is George Kittle a top 5 fantasy tight end this year?
No, but if I get traded, he absolutely is.
Kyle Pitts?
No, but I love him this year.
Do the Packers have a wide receiver reach 80 catches this year? Yes or no?
No.
Isaiah Likely, fantasy relevant or red herring?
Slightly fantasy relevant. Not completely irrelevant, but slightly relevant.
Here's the question from the expo. You're starting a team right now. You want Dak Prescott or Justin Herbert?
I kind of
want
to go Dak.
Nick Chubb, over under 10 games played this year.
11. I'll take the over.
Spencer Rattler, over under 1.5 games started for the Saints this year.
I'll take the over.
Folks, he's Adam Pfeiffer. Follow him on X at AP Pfeiffer 24. He's also the host of our flagship podcast, For the Numbers, 3 times a week. The guy never sleeps, gives great content here at FTN. Make sure to use that promo code FTN15, sign up. You can get that bonus 15% off. We have subscriptions flying off the shelf. Really excited about all the stuff that we're doing. As always, Mike Randall on X at Randall Rant. Jeff will be back with you later this week. enjoy it. Fantasy football, the FTN Fantasy Football Podcast is back and better than ever. Are you ready?